Good morning. Welcome to the morning show with community news and affairs from the center. I'm Ron Fruit. Operation Christmas Child is our topic this morning. It's a very positive one. Pat Casa is here to join us today. Pat is the drop-off leader for the Richland Center area and has long been involved supporting this program in our community. And we'll introduce you to Yenny Canyon today, who has an interesting story to tell us about Operation Christmas Child and has remained very supportive of this program. To both of you, welcome to the show today. The year goes fast when it's time to talk about Operation Christmas Child. We know we're approaching the holidays, but I think for many, Pat, this has become an integral part of their holiday celebration, hasn't it?
I think so, Ron. They kick it off with Operation Christmas Child, getting in the mood to gather gifts for someone less fortunate and send it off somewhere exciting, and knowing that this gift is really meaningful, it gives them the introduction to Christmas.
Let's talk a little bit about just how you got involved in the first place, Pat. Did someone introduce this to you, or how did you learn about Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child?
That's been a long time, and I'm not sure exactly how it got started. It wasn't too popular in the area, but a couple people at our church knew about it, and so we just started bringing boxes to church. And we would have 20 boxes maybe the first couple years, and I think Bruce took him in our pickup over to the La Crosse area, and that's how it got started. And then they asked if I would be a drop-off center. We used to take them to La Crosse, and they've asked us to shift to Madison, so we've probably taken them to Madison 3 years now. And it's grown and grown, and last year our box total was 1,144 boxes from our area. So a lot of churches have gotten the word. We've done some mail-outs to churches, and different people have just heard about it through other ways. So it's definitely grown greatly.
If somebody's saying, is that what they used to call shoe boxes, or be referred to as shoe boxes, Pat?
I would think you could say that, because it's still called Operation Christmas Child Shoe Boxes. I think they just say OCC, which is Operation Christmas Child, to shorten it. But yes, a lot of people still talk about the shoebox ministry. I would guess it would be one and the same, because we still use shoeboxes.
Mm-hmm. And it really is a missional type of project, isn't it? I mean, where people look at that this is something I can do for someone somewhere else.
Exactly. And the places these boxes go are many third world countries where they've never seen a toy like this, or a hygiene item, a washcloth and a soap. You know, they don't have those personal items for themselves. And a little toy that's a fun thing to play with probably will look new and different to them. And just Yenny will tell us about the other end, and that'll be fun to hear about what it's like at the other end when they're opening them. We have a lot of videos we can watch. You can go on the website, and there are videos that just, you can't watch those without feeling touched by what goes on at the receiving party. And then it is a mission also, because the greatest journey is a booklet they get, and they have the opportunity to hear about Jesus, and the churches at that location take over, and they have 12 lessons about discipleship. So it's not just ending when the box is opened and they play with the toys.
When you get ready for another year, I know that there are dates that are certainly important that we need to follow. Mm-hmm. Are the wheels in motion for this year's Operation Christmas Child locally, Pat?
Yep, very much so. I hope people will be picking up boxes if they don't have them at their own church or they've never done it before. Out at Grace Community Church, we leave the foyer open, and there are boxes to be taken for free at the foyer of the church. So if you just want one box, go ahead, take a box. If you could use 10, take 10. If you take boxes, we just ask that you use them or pass them along. And we're glad to have more churches involved. If someone wants to hear more details, they could call me also, and I could lay out what it takes for a church to do it. But it isn't hard. And we're coming upon the collection week quickly. It's November 14th through 21, and that's a Monday the 14th through Monday the 21st, and the collection site is Grace Community Church on AA, right past the fairgrounds.
And if we take advantage of the earlier dates, it makes a big difference to you. If we all come the last day, it's a challenge, isn't it?
Right. officially, we have to be open Monday morning, but our truck is there loading up and wanting to get on the road by 9 in the morning. So technically, we have to have a couple hours on Monday morning, but we really like to really wrap it up Sunday afternoon. So we're open from 12:30 to 3 on Sunday, and if someone, we're still there. If someone drops off a little later, that's fine. But we like to have all the cartons taped shut and moved to the foyer so that they can load them Monday morning.
You mentioned that different churches are involved, but you don't have to be affiliated with a church, and
no.
It's strictly non-denominational,
exactly.
Isn't it?
There was a Spanish teacher at the high school that got his Spanish class involved. They brought boxes a couple years. One of the clubs at the high school, I'm not sure which one, I want to say Key Club, but I don't want to misspeak, they brought boxes a year or two. So, and a lot of families just do it. So someone will walk in with two, three little kids and three little boxes, and everybody's welcome, and it does not have to be associated with any organization or club or church.
The website is a great resource. I mean, it can help us pack our box, tell us where to take our box. I mean, it really is a roadmap to a successful contribution to this project, isn't it?
It is. I just sat down at the website yesterday so I could write a few things. And if you just enter Operation Christmas Child, it'll pop right up. And at the top, there's a link that says pack a shoebox. Like you said, it walks you right through step-by-step instructions on how to pack a box, what is allowed in a box, because these are going to war-torn areas often. They don't want any little soldiers or anything that could give a feeling of unrest to a child that suffered
through those. Or the wrong impression.
They don't even really encourage camo. A lot of people send a little t-shirt, a hat, pair of slippers, anything, clothing like that. They just ask you kind of stay away from camouflage because that could be also just not sending the right message. It talks about a link then for times of collection. Like our, it says you enter your zip code and it'll show our church and other churches in the general area. In case you're in an outlying area, maybe there's someone in Sauk, or if you're listening from afar, you'll see where the Madison websites are. Gives all the times and locations there. Also, they've added in the last couple years, because of COVID, build a shoebox online. So on the very first page, you can scroll all the way down, and it says build a shoebox online. And you just click, and it shows you everything. They have certain categories. And out of that category, you'll pick which toy you want to send, which item in the hygiene area you want to send, which school supplies you want to send. So it couldn't be easier. And that is $25. So it's all done for you by your choice, but it's all wrapped up and you don't have to shop and you don't have to bring it to a drop-off location.
We've talked before, Pat, that those who would just like to be financially contributing, that shipping, there are lots of costs to make sure that Operation Christmas Child is successful. Mm-hmm. If you want to build a box online, that's easy. If you want to shop and that's rewarding, great. But if you just want to make a contribution, you can do that too, can't you?
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up. One of the links on the right, you just kind of have to search through them. There's mm-hmm. so much information, but one of them says, how can I contribute? It's one of the last ones on the far right, but it gives several opportunities. This book called The Greatest Journey, you could buy 5 or 10 of these books. They're $6 each. You could give the $10 contribution for shipping a box. And people will say, $10 to ship a box? That's kind of a lot. But that is the collecting of the boxes, the shipping of the boxes to Chicago once this gets to Madison. They're shipping to over 100 countries. This is a lot of expense. And the materials that are put in the boxes for the children, that covers it. And these are all in their own language. And then, as I just mentioned, The Greatest Journey. This is a nice book. This isn't just a little leaflet, little flyer. It's a very good, detailed book that they will receive if they join the discipleship group at their village. So a lot goes into to get your box to its destination. And if someone wants to cover one box, that would be wonderful. They could cover a box. If they feel led to cover 100 boxes, all monetary donations are accepted and used.
When I think about getting ready for this, do I need to use one of the official boxes from Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child? Is that the best way to do it, Pat?
That's a good way to put it. It's the best way. It's the preferred way. Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes just started out as that, shoeboxes. Get an average size shoebox from your basement and fill it up. They have found that it's much more efficient to have it be the same. Our cartons are designed now to fit 15 shoeboxes of the official shoebox size into a carton. That makes them still something an average person can lift, but it has kept the numbers much easier to keep track of. And also, when you get to that country, I always say children are the same in every place of the world. You might be at a distribution and somebody has a boot box, and then the little child next to him has the official shoe box, and they might look and say, well, he's getting more than me. Why is that? You know? So I think it just keeps everything even and equal at the receiving end too. And you can get a lot of great little toys in it, but it's not meant to be something that is overwhelming. They want them to be blessed, but like, if you have nothing, maybe getting a really big box could be too much. I don't know. Yenny can probably speak to that because she's been on that end. But they just want it to be a blessing to these children, and it doesn't need to be huge.
I think it's really interesting because there are those who have had a chance from our community, if I'm not mistaken, Pat, to go when they were doing some packing and watching what was happening. Mm-hmm. And for them, they weren't even on the end result of the field like Yenny, but they were blown away by what it takes and the magnitude and the impact that these boxes can have.
And everybody can have an opportunity to join a
kind of processing and getting ready, isn't it?
Thank you. At the processing center, which is outside Chicago, our side of Chicago, you can go and be a volunteer there. You do need to pay your own expenses, but you can be a volunteer. And that's also on the website if someone would like to look into that. And there have been several people from here and the group I'm associated with in Madison. A lot of them have gone regularly, and they just said it's amazing to watch the number of boxes. So Madison last year sent 12,259 boxes out of Madison to Chicago.
That's a lot of boxes
from this area. And just this year, this is a really big number. This is Operation Christmas Child's year to send its 200 millionth box.
But then if I think, we had over 1,000 boxes as a community.
Right.
We were significant, or this community, I should say, and say it is, we contributors to that effort in this region, weren't we?
Right, yeah. We sent 1,144.
Almost 10%.
Yeah, Madison was 12,000, so yeah, it was.
Well, you'd like to grow that this year, if possible, too, wouldn't you?
The goal is by 5%.
Okay, awesome. And again, those boxes are available to be picked up now in the foyer of Grace Community Church, near the fairgrounds, Richland Center. And then, in fact, now would be a good time to get them, wouldn't it?
Right. I put them out this last week. If someone wants a significant number, I think today's the deadline on the website where you can order them yourself. I don't know that they wouldn't come. It's really tight. But if they need more, maybe they could call me and we could discuss that. We don't have an unlimited supply. We just bought. We probably would have a 50 or something, but people order. A lot of the churches now know about this, and they order their own boxes each year.
But if at this last moment, build a box online then. If you have a significant number, that could make all the difference. And if you want the personal experience,
use a shoebox from your basement, but just try
to fill one and do the rest online.
Yeah. And keep in mind, if you use one of your own, just make it an average size, not a boot box or really large, just an average size. And we do get still some that come from home, and some kids just love decorating them, and they're just so cute and a lot of fun. You can decorate the inside too. They come flat and you put them together. Someone demonstrated how they put a little very elaborate little racetrack on it. And then they gave Matchbox cars as part of the thing.
That was neat.
So they had this little Matchbox race car thing on the, in the inside of their box that they flattened out again and played with. So people get creative.
Should you wrap it or should it be just left the way it is?
Just left the way it is.
If I used a regular shoebox, leave it the way it is?
We just put a rubber band around it, and when it gets checked at the Chicago Processing Center, then they tape it with strapping tape, and then it goes on, so it won't ever open in shipping.
Sounds good.
But it does have to be looked at one more time. You can't send shampoo, you can't send any liquid or food or candy, and unfortunately they've taken away toothpaste because it sits at customs. It's considered food, and so
the last thing you'd want would have your box discarded because you did it wrong.
Well, it just holds everything up, right? So if something slips through, which it does, in Chicago, they'll give it to a homeless shelter or someone in need like that. So
sounds good. Let's review the dates, and then we'll bring Yenny into our conversation this morning. But again, we're right around the corner to when we need to be turning these in and getting them filled, aren't we?
Yep, 3 weeks. So November 14th to 21st, and I delivered some information to a church yesterday, and they had their table all set up and their boxes out, and they'd probably put it out a week or two ago just to give people plenty of time. And they have their cutoff the 13th, because then one person brings all their boxes out to us, and they're usually our Monday night drop-off, so we're all prepared.
That's awesome.
'Cause a couple different churches bring a couple hundred boxes each.
Wow.
So
awesome. If someone has a direct question, can they contact you, Pat?
Sure.
And what would be the best way for them to do so?
608-354-3901.
And that would be a church or an individual or
that's
anyone
of all? That's my number.
I mean, to call you, though.
Anybody.
A church could call, and a family, whatever they would like. So
they could call at Grace Community Church, too, but there isn't necessarily someone there all day, every day to answer. But they could leave a message with Deb, and she would let me know right away, too.
Sounds good. Good luck. I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service to our community.
You're welcome.
In this way. Well, it's a treat to have Yenny Cannon with us today. She is from Hillsboro, but she has an interesting story to tell us in her involvement. In fact, involvement with Operation Christmas Child that most of us will never see. So we'll benefit, Yenny, from what you say this morning. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Ron. It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, and help us understand your life a little bit and how it came to be that you had this personal experience with Samaritan's Purse, Yenny.
Okay, so originally I'm from Denmark, but have immigrated to the States about 2 years ago. And I'm married to James Cannon, who is he is associated with Rich and Senna. So that's how I ended up in this area. However, I met him in the mission field. I met him in Mozambique, which is on the east coast of southern Africa. And we were with a ministry, and they received the shoeboxes from Samaritan's Purse. So that was my first encounter with the whole concept of the shoeboxes. And through that mission that we were with there, some of our children received the boxes, not all of them, because we also received donations otherwise. But we also had several programs. We were working with street children, and also there was like the local dump, but that was what it was, and people actually lived there. And we had a huge ministry in that area as well, so we would also bring shoeboxes to children there.
What called you to the mission field? What motivated you to make that decision to serve others in that way, Yenny?
Well, I always knew that's what I wanted to do. My mom says, I don't remember, but she says I was 8 years old. That would have been back in the 80s, and Ethiopia was going through a horrible drought in those years. And so apparently, I do remember this part. I remember watching something about that area, and I saw a mom with a child, and it was the hopelessness in their eyes that really moved me, and I was crying. And so the part I don't remember was that, you know, my mom asked me, so, you know, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And I said, Mom, when I grow up, I want to be a nurse and help the sick children in Africa. My mom kind of patted me on the head and thought, nursing, great. Africa, will return to that one. And but lo and behold, as I grew up, they could see that I got more and more motivated, and it was, I never deviated from it. And yeah.
So did you become a nurse then too?
Yes, I am a nurse, not a registered nurse. I'm from Denmark, so our nursing program is slightly different. I did become a nurse, and I did go and help the sick children in Africa so it ended up being 11 years.
Good for you. Yeah. Did your passion waver, or was there a little bit of fear and nervousness as you approached the mission field for the first time, Yenny?
I was really excited going. I do remember that when I had first arrived and I was sitting in my room and I was like, what have I done? But I, at the same time, I was like, okay, God, you brought me here, so what's now? You know, what do you want me to do while I'm here? And going into the mission, you think that you that you're going to change a lot of things, but actually it was about God changing things in me.
I think of the starfish story. You've heard about that, where the two guys are walking on the beach and there's a starfish that's stranded, and there are thousands and thousands of starfish, and he picks up one, and the guy does, and tosses it back. And, you know, he feels bad because he can't save all of the starfish,
right?
But he saved one.
Yeah.
Did you have to come to grips with that kind of feeling as you served in the mission field in that way, Yenny?
Yeah. Now, because I was more focused with children, and it was a children's space that we were on, some of you might know, it's called Iris Ministries, and the focus is children. And when you, their motto basically is stop for the one. So the whole concept is, which is the one for you today? So because you look around, there's needs. It doesn't matter. Lots of needs. And you can easily get overwhelmed. And we did see people get overwhelmed from time to time, especially the visitors. They were like ready to pack their bags. It's like, I'm coming down now. And it's like, no, wait, take a breather. You know, the Bible says, you know, the poor will always be among us, you know, and there's always opportunities. And there are many different ways that we can serve people in poor countries and even in our local community. So, yeah, it's easy to get overwhelmed, but I want to say that I learned it pretty quick, that don't get overwhelmed. Just deal with the situation that you have right in front of you.
I'm sure you changed lives. Did it change your life?
Forever. I'll never be the same, but for the good. Yeah, I really cherish the years, and if God told me it was time to go back tomorrow, there's no doubt my husband and I would go back. We loved it. Absolutely.
Operation Christmas Child, you know, tell us about your first impressions and, you know, just how things kind of walk us through from a, you know, an on the site observer's viewpoint, Yenny.
Well, I never heard of it before I stepped into the mission. And there's nothing better than to see a child smile, you know, and even something simple, you know, people, they might go, oh, what should we put in the boxes? And, you know, children are the same all over the world. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was like, I've been listening to you, Yenny, because you tell me what age group often suffers in the shoebox distribution, because people tend to go, so let's say, towards the more younger children. And she's like, no, I'm definitely gonna focus on older children, and especially boys, because that's where we're lacking. That's what we saw, at least. It's everybody wants to give to the babies, and I understand that because it's cute. And people go, people feel like, yeah, but there's already so many donations given to small children in general, at least that's, especially if you are part of a bigger organization, which we were. And yeah, so Yeah, so as I said, children are the same. Young men, young girls are the same. Girls want to look pretty, you know. Young men, they want to look cool. And so those are kind of the things. And, you know, it's great. It's great to see, you know, young boys, they're putting on a pair of sunglasses and they're like, oh, look at me, you know, that kind of thing. And the little girls, they get, you know, headbands and stuff, you know, they love it. And I mean, they giggle and they want to show their, so because we had lots of children, you know, especially on the base, and they would compare, you know, oh, look what I got, look what you got. And it's like, and they're just so proud. And it's really nothing to us. We take it for granted. But these children, they don't take it for granted.
Sometimes, it's been said, and with the special interview that we have this season with Elena, who was here with you, Pat, and, mm-hmm. and Tony from Operation Christmas Child, that this may very well be the first gift that some of these children ever receive. Did you find that, Yenny, to be the
absolutely.
Case?
Absolutely. In a culture where you don't have many resources, Christmas is not a priority. Birthdays, not, you know. Another country that my husband and I ended up going to, which was called Swaziland, but now called Eswatini. It's a small, tiny, landlocked kingdom in the middle of South Africa and Mozambique. And there are places there that are extreme poor. I mean, extreme poor. And, you know, we would go, we had a lot of rural clinics when I was with that mission, and children come in, they're filthy, they are, and you don't even see that. I mean, my parents had the privilege to come down and spend some time with us there, and I said to my mom, don't look at that. It's going to break your heart. Because it's one of the basic needs that you would want to look at, you know, when you see a child. Is that don't look at that. You got to look behind all of that, because what is more important, to have water to cook with or water to wash with? I mean, that's just some of the, like, really basic things that we need to think about. So when we have the opportunity to give a shoebox to a child like that, they get absolutely thrilled. I mean, they just, it's like they never had a toy, you know. They make their own toys. They never had it. Little girls never had a doll, you know. It's again, I was talking to my friend the other day, and I said, you know, pencils for the children at school, you know, they have these tiny little pieces of things that they find on the road or something to write with. That's what they have. They don't have stuff. They just don't have things. And the schools cannot provide.
When the shoeboxes were given out, it seems in the past we've talked about it that, you know, there are representatives of Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse there. Yeah. Was that an effective time, you know, in the lives of these children, in your mind, Yenny?
Yeah. I was introduced to the Samaritan's Purse. I would say I probably became more aware of it after we moved to Eswatini, because there were members of the church that we were part of that worked for that ministry that was located in Eswatini. They did a lot more than just the shoebox. They had a huge thing going on there. And so,
I think it's interesting for people who will never have a chance to see where that box goes. You know, with your words, can you provide them an assurance that what they do will make a difference in the life of a child?
Absolutely. Absolutely, no doubt about it. I've seen it. I've seen the eyes, the smiles. You know, it's not, you know, I understand the videos on the website, you know, and it's real. It's not something that's just been put up there so people, they get motivated or get emotional. That's the fact, you know.
Does it illustrate the principle, it's more blessed to give than receive?
Oh, yeah. It was one of the biggest things I really enjoyed while I was in Africa because of the roles that I had. I had the privilege to do a lot of rural stuff. I visited a lot of people in communities. I had the opportunity to actually leave the base and the security of the bases and the children being looked after. I forgot where I was going.
More blessed to give than receive.
Yes, that's correct. And when you have the opportunity to do that, especially out there where you know that they're less privileged than what we would see on a daily basis on the bases, you get excited and you're like, this is why I'm here, you know. And it might be silly, you know. You might think, oh, you know, it's better that they have health and they have food. Yeah, and in Mozambique, I was running a program, a food program. So we provided food for a certain amount of people in the communities. And there's nothing greater than to give people things that they need, whether it's a little gift. And you know, it's not only the child that gets excited, it's the parents as well. I was doing also a milk program, so for mothers that could not breastfeed their children for health reasons, or maybe they had triplets. Surprisingly enough, you see a lot of triplets in Africa. And at least I did. And you know, they can't provide for three babies, and part of it is also because they don't have enough nutrition for themselves. So the mothers cannot provide milk enough for three babies. And so they would get excited on behalf of their child, and they loved it. And the mums sometimes, especially with the milk program, they would give me traditional gifts or bring me pumpkins or, you know, and I'm like, and I know it cost a lot for them to do that, but they just in gratitude for us wanting and being willing to do these things.
Yeah. You said if God called you to go back to the mission field, you would in a moment. Do you miss it?
Yeah, I do. There are parts of it I really miss, really miss. Doesn't mean that I'm not excited about the future that I have here now. I'm very excited about it. And I don't, in my heart, and this is both James and I, we don't feel we're done with Africa. We think maybe it's just going to be a little bit different than what we've been doing before.
Is there something you'd like to say that I didn't give you an opportunity to, Yenny?
Well, I think I'd like to give an emphasis on the shoebox. I absolutely want to emphasize also what Pat said about the shoe sizes, or the box sizes, sorry. We would get boxes sometimes, like a boot box, or, you know, but then we would actually, if it was for our center, we would actually check, because we want it to be fair for everybody.
So children are children, just like Pat said, no
absolutely
matter where they are.
It's exactly the same thing. They do measure up, like, oh wow, your box is big, what have you got in that box? So we could do that in the center. We would regulate. And like even for my husband and I, I'm a size 5. You know, my husband, he's got bigger feet than I have, you know. And so a regular shoebox for me is a little smaller than my husband. So it does actually make a difference. And this is just based on what I've seen. And I know I will be doing that when I make my shoeboxes this year, is that I will focus on older boys, because they always seem to miss out. And
someone told me that in these villages, in the setting that these boxes are going to, often, I guess I'd like to review the ages, but the 10 to 14-year-old boy, these are boys that are working.
Yeah.
And maybe a little small tool set or very practical things like that will be put to use by them. A little hammer. I don't know, maybe you can speak to that. A lot of them are working already at that age. They're not in school.
It's true that many of them are working. I never considered tools, and maybe that could be an idea. I never actually thought about that. But what I have noticed is that even though you have this, say, 13 or 14-year-old boy who might be working, is that they want to, like, oh, it doesn't matter. But once they get that box, they become small children. Mm-hmm. And it's actually heartbreaking to see, because here we still celebrate children at that age. But, you know, like you mentioned before, is that maybe they never had a present before, you know. And so and that's just based on what I've seen, that they're kind of getting forgotten a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I know for myself, that's what I want to focus on. And I just, you know, and of course, we mustn't forget the babies, you know. So that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, if you're making more than one box, consider for an older child as well, please.
But they're at a point where they can start to make some decisions. You know, I mean, in some way, the baby, I mean, yes, they need something.
Yeah.
But it strikes me that the impact that you potentially could have on a boy who is 14 years old, for an example, could be incredibly significant, that would last for a lifetime. Yay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's like what I've seen is that, wow, someone considered someone like me, you know, because in cultures, especially where, you know, kids might have been, you know, living for several years on the street, and they don't see themselves important anymore. So, and it breaks your heart when you think of it in the big picture, you know. And again, for myself, it was about that individual, and you just bring that smile on that individual kid, you know.
So and you can fit a soccer ball in a shoebox.
And that's another thing. Oh, what I do want to say, people love to give soccer balls, and they are huge blessings. But what often gets forgotten is the pump.
And so, a good reminder.
Yeah, the base that we were on in Mozambique, we would get all these balls, and we were like, we can't, you know.
Pump
it was
up.
Like we had one pump. And if it broke, and my husband, he was the, you know, he was the maintenance guy on the base, and he was like running around pumping up, because he's like, I'm keeping one, because they just kept breaking, you know, because they're a little bit rough with it, you know. So it's like, don't forget the pumps, please.
One ball, one pump, three needles.
Oh, good idea.
So yeah, so that's definitely, if you bring a ball, a pump would be great.
Because you can deflate it,
right?
Then it fits in the box.
Yeah, roll it up really tight, yeah. And stick that pump in, and
definitely
rubber band it tight. That's one thing I just want to mention. Anything that you're buying, take it out of the plastic packaging, because it takes up so much room.
It does.
So take that little item out. And I watched a demonstration. I could not believe how much she got in a standard operation shoe box. It was amazing. She tucks things in. She just knows how to wrap and what size things to buy. But all significant things, like you're saying, crayons, coloring books, tablets, pencils, pens, erasers. Don't forget the pencil sharpener.
Mm.
That goes with the pencils, because I'm sure they use a little
their
knife and things
their,
like that.
What I've seen, they use stones, and they will, you know, kind of like scrape them on the stones.
Like a little flint.
So yeah, so I think that could work if they don't get the sharpener. But it's just and also it's like, you know, especially with pens, maybe not go the cheapest. I don't know if that's bad to say like that, because you want it to last, mm-hmm. you know, because many schools cannot afford to bring or to give the students any kind of supplies. So, and that's just how it is.
Like for a tool, a pair of pliers, and one like a knife, would that be considered a weapon?
I don't think you could send a knife.
No,
a pair of pliers, I would think
hammer.
You could do.
Yeah. I was even thinking, are these countries using centimeters? So maybe some of our tools aren't tooled the same.
Measuring tapes, unless they have centimeters, because they go by the metric.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. Pat, we've talked about the dates are coming up, but you've got a brochure in front of you. Maybe you can give us some ideas. And the soccer ball, that certainly was a plus, and I know that those have gone over extraordinarily well from our previous conversations. But maybe we can talk about age designations and maybe just some quick ideas.
Sure. So when you fill your box, there is a label that goes on the front, and it leaves you an opportunity to check boy or girl. And then the age brackets are 2 to 4, 5 to 9, and 10 to 14. So this goes on your actual box with a nice check mark by each one, so they know how to get it to the appropriate age. And there's also a QR scan. And if you want to follow your box, you can also do that. So you'll find out. And we have sent boxes to Mozambique. Every year we get a list afterwards of where things have gone. And last year we went to several African countries and some South American countries, then unnamed countries, because these are countries where they have to kind of be under the radar, so they're not friendly to Christian organizations, so they can't name those places. But some shoebox ideas, they call it a wow item. Have something in there that it's just going to jump out at them. Maybe the pencils and the pens will be wonderful, and maybe that'll be the most important thing to some children. But probably in the younger kids, a little soft stuffed animal or something that is considered a wow item. So a doll, a soccer ball with a pump, it says right here. A stuffed animal. Shoes, like people send slippers or flip-flops. Those are always great. Little toy cars, jump ropes, yo-yos, harmonica, recorder, anything that'll fit in that box. If you send any toy that lights up or moves, you have to send extra batteries. Personal care items are toothbrushes, washcloths, combs, and hairbrushes. Then, of course, like you said, the little girls love the headbands and sparkly barrettes and things like that. School supplies, pencils, pens, sharpeners, crayons, markers, notebooks and paper, and coloring books, solar calculators. That was a good idea. Then accessories like socks, sunglasses, jewelry, flashlights with extra batteries. I've seen a lot of baseball caps. You can really make those quite small. T-shirts. Just make sure your clothing's age appropriate. You're not going to send a adult men's large into a boy's 5 to 9 box. So that gets a little riskier in trying to match up
age. If I can interject regarding the clothes, you often find in some of these places that you might buy a T-shirt for a 14-year-old, but he might not be bigger than a 10-year-old. Because sometimes, because of malnutrition and issues like that, they are actually quite smaller in size. So the clothes thing, that's always, for me, is like, I don't know. If I knew it was going to maybe, let's say, a certain organization, so let's say Mozambique, where I know the kids are getting fed and whatever, okay, great, then I would do it. But I don't know. I think people just have to maybe take that in consideration
That's a good interjection. Thank you. I did think of something else. Oh, the no-nos. Again, to mention, thank you, but no candy. Unfortunately, no toothpaste, because they consider that food now. Gum. Used items. Please make this a new item box so that it lasts. Like she mentioned, you want quality. Mm-hmm. You don't want cheap trinket things. Nothing war-related or frightening, nothing scary, no liquids or lotions, as much as I'm sure they would appreciate lotions and shampoos. We can't send liquids. If that breaks, it's going to ruin your whole box, and it might seep out into other boxes. It just totally would ruin a box. No medications or vitamins, no glass, no aerosol cans. So as much as some of those things are probably wanted, needed, appreciated, we're not able to do that in the shoeboxes.
Well, let's go ahead and recap. We have just enough time for your dates. And I think a lot of the things, the brochure with the label on would answer a lot of questions too, wouldn't
it? It's very well spelled out. And again, send you to the website. And honestly, I spent a lot of time on there yesterday, and there's a lot of things addressed on the website.
But you'll collect boxes again coming up next month, won't you?
Correct. Monday, November 14th, we'll be open from 5 to 7. And I won't go through all the times, but every day of the week, there's at least a two-hour opportunity to bring boxes out to Grace Community Church on Highway AA, right past the fairgrounds. Take a right up the driveway, and there will be a banner by the driveway entrance to see.
And we could go there now and pick up a box if we wanted to.
Correct. And I just realized I didn't have these out in the foyer with the boxes, so I'll get up to church and put some informational packets with the label on the front.
Sounds good. Good luck.
I hope
that, one, you get all your growth, and that it's just a very successful and rewarding year, Pat.
Thank you, Ron.
Nice to
have
thanks
you for here. The time on the radio to get the word out.
You're welcome.
It very much.
Jenny, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for being a great guest today. And, to be able to hear about it firsthand is incredibly beneficial.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
Best wishes in the future.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's say, first of all, thanks for your past support of Operation Christmas Child through Samaritan's Purse. And our thanks today to Yenny Cannon and to Pat Casa for being our guests on The Morning Show.